Well, good morning to everybody. Good morning. Thank you for this offering. Wow, that is so generous and wonderful. Thank you. You know you're in trouble when the preacher gets two stands. There's no telling what's going to happen, right? And it's just beautiful. So let me just begin by just giving you a quick report on our trip to the Philippines. Many of you remember last time we were here, I brought a couple of friends and Caleb Byerly, who God supernaturally gave a dream of a lost instrument to a tribe in the Philippines called the Tinanan. And so we did go on this trip. They did have their wonderful festival recognizing them. It was amazing. And the whole time we were able to get into the Tinanan areas to talk to the chief. It was amazing. It was amazing to me that when I was there, the Lord was saying, love is patient, Daryl, love is patient, love is patient. You know, my tendency, and especially for those who know me, especially like this guy right here, you know, he knows me. Let's just deal some Jesus, man. Let's get them messed up, lit in the Holy Spirit, and let's see what happens. But the Lord said, Daryl, love is patient, love is patient. So the whole time I was just like, felt the restraining of the Lord. But it was beautiful, because we did the festival, and then the chief, they call it the chief of all chiefs, called us up and said, you know, he pretty much inducted us into his tribe. He said, you four who have come and brought the instruments, and we did an amazing painting for him. We now adopt you as Tinanan. And Caleb was like, oh my gosh, that means the next time you go, you're not going as an outsider, you're going as Tinanan. And so be praying for us. We're just trying to sort out what we're to do. Unreached people groups in the mountains of Mindanao, there's at least 70,000 of them who have never heard the name of Jesus. And right now, they're doing Bible translation, trying to get, you know, working on getting their alphabet. They think in 1 year they'll have them a Bible. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That's just awesome. So thank you. Kim is here. Rick's pretty much stole my thunder. That's all right, introducing Kim. So, but I appreciate that. So Kim is my beautiful bride. She's here. She's a hero. She's been with us, with me, in 20 different nations, taking our babies into some of the most dangerous places, seeing thousands of people won to Christ. During that time, she said, hey, I want to do children's programs. Before we would rent stadiums and just fill the stadiums and just teach the Lord and wonderful things. People be healed. And she said, I want to do children's meetings beforehand. What do you feel about that? And she felt she had a word from God, so let's go for it. So she's led thousands, I don't know how many, thousands of young orphans and young children in Romania and Poland, and we could just all these Ukraine. And we were talking last night, she's been at gunpoint twice. I mean, a true hero of the faith. So anyway, again, thank you.
I got to tell some. He's talking about doing these something or another.
What was I saying?
So anyway, he's talking about doing these things overseas. One time, y'all did a thing in Romania, yeah. I believe it was, where y'all teamed up with this woman, this big orphanage.
Yep.
And y'all rented a auditorium and had hundreds of kids come, masses amounts get saved. We were Jay McMurray, a friend of mine, with Daryl's son in the faith. We're traveling to Croatia. We stopped in Vienna and spent the night in Vienna, Austria. So we catch a taxi from the airport into the city to spend the night. As we're going, we get talking to the taxi driver, trying to minister Jesus to him. He starts saying, where's he from? He's from Romania. And so come to find out, this guy who was the taxi driver was one of the kids that got saved.
Isn't that amazing? Amazing. It's just awesome. It's awesome.
That ain't cool.
It's awesome. So, wow, that's such a cool story. Hey, man, that juices us up ready to go. Let's pray. So, Father, we're so honored to be a part of the world that you so love, that you're doing everything to reach, Father. And we love this city. We pray for this city, God, that truly your grace and your goodness would just be released in this city. So, Father, take the words that I have today, a real teaching, and I ask you just to glorify yourself in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to your media team, all your sound people, your media people. They always sit back there, and you know, only time people recognize them usually is when something goes wrong. Hey, what's happening? You know, so, but they've had to work intensely to get this up, and we're praying to God it'll work because it's a multimedia type of thing. Can we just thank the wonderful people in the sound booth back there? My hero. All right, let's get started. I'm calling this today, as you see, seasons. Don't you love the change of seasons? We've just had a change of seasons, getting into the fall. And it kind of feels like winter in Boone, North Carolina. But you know, as a believer, you're going to go through different seasons. And those seasons will really affect you dramatically. Understanding how to navigate the different seasons of life can be the real difference between maturity, understanding divine, timing, disillusionment, and the like. I'm going to categorize two seasons as a foundation to what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about, first, there's two seasons you're going to go through. One's called a season of manifestation. This is about the presence of God. When you pray, it just gets answered. When you're in worship, you feel His presence. I mean, it's like God is tangible. And we have, don't you all love seasons of manifestation, man? It's overwhelming emotion. You just, divine encounters, like, you know, you pick up a hitchhiker, next thing you know, they're getting juiced in the Holy Spirit of God. You know, it's just God's manifesting Himself. In a season of manifestation, it's about His presence. And then it's also, as you see there, He invades our world. Okay, it's like an invasion of love and kindness. And what happens in a season of manifestation? It's about wonder because He is so wonderful. He's full of wonder. But then there's also seasons of hiddenness. And it's not about the presence. It's about you getting the promises deep inside you. Okay? At times, when you're in a season of hiddenness, it can feel like God is so distant. You come in here and worship, and everybody's up at the front, and you don't feel a thing. I mean, it feels like God is distant. It seems like He's withdrawn. And what happens, you keep thinking, what's wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong in here? What's wrong? And you can't feel Him, you can't hear Him, you can't sense Him. But the issue is there's nothing wrong. It's just a different season. Okay? So in a season of hiddenness, it's not about Him invading our world. It's He's inviting you to go deeper into His. Okay, so God never hides from you, you know. He hides so you can find Him, though. He's like a dad playing hide and seek with a little kid. You always kind of hide where they'll eventually find you. So He's not hiding from you. He's hiding for you, that you'll find Him in a deeper place, because He knows what you're getting ready to go through in the next 2 or 3 years. You need deeper faith. Therefore, it's going to feel like I'm hiding, but He's right there. Okay, in a season of hiddenness, it's not about wonder. He imparts wisdom. See, because when Jesus is at a, if you, Jesus has got you in a season of manifestation, you can't really receive a ton of truth. You know why? Your mind melts and you just drool. You're just like... But in a season of hiddenness, He's preparing your heart for deep truth to go into you. Okay, as that is a backdrop, everybody got that? Two main type of seasons. We're going to go to John 15, and we're going to look at something that Jesus spoke, really the last teaching He spoke to His disciples, really big teaching before He would die. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been with someone right before they die and they tell you, come closer, and they whisper something to you? I've had that happen to me quite a few times, and I'll never forget what they say. Well, what if that person was Jesus? Would you listen? Would you take every word in? Because, you know, here's the thing. Today I'm inviting you to come closer to hear Jesus' last teaching before He is crucified. As He gives this word in the morning, He's going to be whipped, He's going to be crucified, and He's giving something to His disciples that will really help them navigate the seasons of their life. For decades, and everybody listen carefully, for decades in my life as a disciple, I didn't understand life of the Spirit. It was often, you know, my life has been categorized, and yours is too, as great times, wonderful times, but disappointment, doubt, discouragement, incredible disillusionment, to the point where I was angry at God. The reason this happened is because I didn't understand the season. But listen, over the years of suffering, of great joy, of great love, unbelievable rejection, uncomprehendable health problems that I deal with, uncomprehendable, I've gone back to John 15. I've studied every single word. I've studied what it means to be in a vineyard, what it means that he is the vine and we are the branches and his Father is the gardener. And I think through this teaching, Jesus understood that we, like a physical vineyard, are going to go through seasons. So today what I'm going to attempt to do is bring you into the vineyard and look at what happens to a vine and a branch. And remember, as I do this, he is the vine, you are the branch, the Father is the gardener. So let's look at our scripture. Here it comes up. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And remember earlier he says, and my Father's the gardener. If you remain or abide in me, if you abide in me, and my words in you, he says here, he says, you're going to bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can't do anything. So as a believer in Christ, we were told, hey, he's done it all. He's done it all. And it's true. He's done it all. He's paid the price for you. So what's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to stay, abide with him. And everything in life is going to try to get you out of that place of abiding with him. He says it 8 times between verse 4 and verse 10 in John 15. Abide in me. Stay. Stay with me. Stay with me. Trust I'm going to get you through this. So today is about abiding in the seasons of life. First of all, we're going to look at the 4 seasons, okay? And I'm going to go quickly because I'm putting 2 teaches in 1, all right? So let's look at the first season. The first season is the winter in the vineyard. And some of you may be in a winter season. What happens in the winter season? This is a time of extreme pruning. And you can look at this picture and it shows you what it's like, okay? This is a time, as I said, of extreme pruning. Listen very carefully. 95% of last year's growth in the vineyard is cut off. 95%. It's an extreme time of pruning. It's a winter season. A winter season is a time of hiddenness where it seems like God's not there. But believe me, he's very, very present. They say in the physical vineyard that branches will grow from anywhere from 8 feet to 10 feet long, and they have to be constantly pruned. It can be a time, winter can be a time of extreme disillusionment, abandonment. But what's happening in the winter? In the winter season, he's cutting away all those immature commitments and priorities that are getting the life out of you. And he's working all of his energy in your roots, the things unseen, rather than your branches, the things that are seen. That's what happens in the physical vineyard. We're going to watch a video right now. This is a gardener, and she runs a big vineyard. And as you listen to this, remember, you're a branch. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the gardener. And listen to what the gardener does. Let's watch this.
Right now in the vineyard, in the winter months, we are very focused on pruning. We prune about 95% of the vine's growth from the previous season back. And we, again, looking towards power of sustainability and overall vine health, we really embrace this idea of double pruning. And what double pruning means is you cut it twice. It is just that simple. So what we do is we come through and we cut once and we cut high. We cut the vines so that they're at, you know, about 12, 15 inches from the permanent structures of the vines, the cordons and the trunks. And then much, much later into the season, and we do what's called finish pruning, which is where we leave the actual wood that we're going to be using for the next year. During our rainy season is at the same time that we are pruning, which is a problem for grapevines because they are a woody plant. Because we do this double pruning pass, what it will allow is if anything comes in, if any of these fungi come in to try and colonize one, we will cut them out and they will never have a chance to get established and move into the permanent structures of vine. Right now in the vineyard, in the winter months,
that's good. Amen. Let's move on. Amen. So did you get that? Double pruning. You see, God is focusing, if you're in a season of a winter season, a season of hiddenness, He's cutting back things in your life. It's more of what He's doing in you rather than out of you. Remember that if you're in the winter season. Now, one of the miraculous things that happened in the vineyard at the beginning of the spring is this thing called vine grafting. And this is kind of an extreme pruning you're seeing right here. Okay, that's getting ready to happen. Where the branches were, the gardener will come in. If the branches have become corrupted, he or she will actually cut off what's right above the cordon. Cut it off. Why does he do this? He cuts off the main trunk because the branch has been corrupted. And then what they do is something that is just absolutely amazing. This right here is called bud grafting. And what they do is they cut a cross in the vine. Think about a cross. As they cut the cross, the vine bleeds, as you see blood or moisture coming out. And they take a bud and they insert it into the vine. That bud will become a branch. A branch, and then the uncorrupted rootstock that is in that vine will flow to that bud, and it'll become a branch. How beautiful this is, illustrated for us in the scripture right here. In Romans 11:16, if the root is holy, so are the branches. You see, He cut you off of a corrupted branch, vine, and He put you into His vine, into Christ. We are into Christ so that the life that flows from Jesus flows to us and we become a holy branch. Out of the message is just a paraphrase version, but I love this. The only reason you're on the tree is because your graft took and because you're connected to that belief nurturing root. I love it. See, Jesus didn't say abide on the vine. He said abide in the vine. In the vine. Okay? How awesome Jesus illustrated a winter season. I couldn't help but notice these two pictures. He was cut off and became life for all of the branches that I see in this beautiful vineyard called Dwelling Place. He is the vine. Everyone I see here is a branch. Okay, so keep that in mind as we go. Let's go to spring. Everybody want to get out of the winter time? We're skiing. No, just kidding. All right, so let's go to spring in the vineyard. This is a glorious time in the vineyard. It's wonderful. What does the winter, listen carefully, create in the vine and in the branch? It creates a longing for nutrients. The harder the winter season that you are in, the greater the longing for the nutrients. As soon as the earth warms to 50 degrees, what happens is channels begin to open up in the vine. They are water channels, okay? And let's look at this real quick. It kind of lays it out for you. The harshness of winter, there it is. The harshness of winter causes the branches to long for some kind of nourishment. And then the vine, this is taken right out of a gardener. He was speaking. The vine becomes a spring of living water. Good teaching, Daryl, on Jesus. Thank you, Father. John 4:14, indeed the water I become will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, wherever the vine was pruned, something amazing happens in this moment in the springtime. You'll see it pictured right here. The vine, wherever the branch was pruned, begins to weep. And so do you. And so do I. In ancient times, in the times of Jesus, they used to use this weeping of the vine as eye drops, which is kind of interesting to me. But something amazing here, you see, the vine has to weep because the weeping heals this, as you see up here, this dark substance is kind of a dark rubbery substance right there. The nutrients in the weeping heals that so that the branch can continue to grow. As much as a gallon of water can come out of one vine as it weeps. When Jesus touches us in the springtime, you just weep. Don't hold back if you need to receive God in the springtime as you come out of the winter, because it's so healing. You know, the true vine wept, Jesus wept, it says, but then weeping may stay in the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Now, another amazing thing happens. It's in the springtime, it's called bud break. You'll see a time lapse of it here. This is a time lapse of a few weeks when the living spring goes through and hits the buds that have now formed. Those buds begin to explode. This is what we call breakthrough. Anybody love a spiritual breakthrough? The degree of the winter, the harshness of a winter, determines the fruit and the bud break, the degree of the bud break. Are you in a winter season? Don't be disillusioned. Realize springtime is coming. Springtime is coming. Okay, so bud break, a miraculous transformation. What is said here is that the branches that were weeping in the end of winter now begin to rejoice and praise in the spring as they are being born again. In a sense, the vineyard is being resurrected. Amazing. You know, the resurrection is something that Jesus, it's our main event. It's the main thing that happened, but he wants to bring resurrection in your life with some of those dead areas. He does it in the wonderful season of the spring. For the believer, it's a spiritual breakthrough. It is a season of manifestation. You pray, it's answered. You worship, wow. Whatever you touch just comes to life. That's what happens in this wonderful, wonderful time. Answered prayers. Okay, let's go to the summer. All right, let's go to the summer. Here's another beautiful season. It's summer in the vineyard. What happens here is the branch, as the bud breaks, all of a sudden the branches want to begin to put a canopy of leaves everywhere. The growth of leaves are exponential. So guess what begins to happen? This thing called leafing. Oh my. The pruning of leaves begins. All of that wonderful breakthrough, all that canopy is now being plucked off and thrown on the ground. It can be a time of disillusionment, but you're beginning to see some beginnings of fruit. Why do they prune so many leaves? Because the branches, if given the choice, are going to choose leaves over grapes. And you're the same way, and so am I. We would rather grow and have a lot more and less fruit. But this is not the way of the vineyard. The Father knows that the goal is fruit, not leaves. And if left to itself, guess what will happen? The vine will grow so many leaves that the sun cannot hit the fruit, that cannot ripen the fruit, and ultimately the vine will choke itself to death. So your Father, the vineyard, the gardener of the vineyard, he clips off your leaves and throws it to the ground, and you watch it and you're going, but my growth, what all of that I did is being thrown on the ground. Anybody feel like that? But Lord, you told me to do this and now it's just on the ground. But the sun is beginning to hit the leaves. Another reason they do this thing called leafing is so that the vineyard can be pollinated. And so guess what's needed there? Wind. wind blows through the fruit, and as it does, it pollinates it. What's the wind symbolic of? It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Father knows. He has to prune back some of those leaves and make room for the Holy Spirit to come and blow through the fruit and pollinate it. Same thing can happen in your life. Okay, I think really the Father, remember this, desires grapes over growth. Now, in our Western culture, we don't desire that. We want growth. We want growth. And God's going, I want grapes. I want grapes. Okay. Now, another beautiful thing that happens here, the heat that begins to touch that fruit, something else begins to happen that's just absolutely beautiful. Let's go to this slide. It explains it to us. The heat, the summer heat causes a longing for water within the branches that are now bearing some fruit clusters. And the heat of life causes you to really reach out for Him. What is, and reaches out for water. Water of what? Water of the Word. You become very thirsty as a branch in His vineyard. How beautiful that this scripture says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. Yeah. Now, something else this heat does, it's extreme heat. And in your life, you're probably under some extreme heat, pressure, things are happening. And this longing for water, what does it do next? The longing for water from the heat causes the branches to grow false branches. You see them pictured here. They begin to grow down, and you can see what will happen is the branch then tries to become a false vine. This is what's spoken of in John 15:2. It says he cuts off. The word there means he lifts up. And this is what the gardener does. He lifts up and he cuts off all those false securities that you thought would bring you nourishment. We think that power, prestige, money will bring us value and security. So the branch's tendency is to try to create a false vine. And what the gardener or your Father does is he lifts it up and cuts it off so that your only life source is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other life source but Him. He's it. And it can hurt. Look, you're like, but Lord, what about this relationship? I thought it was you. It's going to create bad stuff, because if the gardener allows false vines to appear, guess what false vines mean? Bitter and sour grapes. So he's going to cut it off. But Lord, this job, and if this job is from the Lord, well, amen. But if it's going to create sour, bitter grapes in your life, he's going to cut it off. Look, guys, some of you have been serving the Lord longer than I have, but I've been doing this for a long time. You're going to go through some pruning in your seasons of life. Don't become discouraged if he's taken things off you so that the only source is Jesus. He does it because he loves you. He doesn't want bitterness in your life, okay? So, amen, we've got that. So fame, fortune, popularity, careers, relationship. Here's another thing it's amazing. The closer that the branch is to the original vine, the better the grapes will be. And the closer you are to Jesus, the greater the fruit of the Spirit in your life is going to be. Okay? The closer that the branch is to that vine, in other words, the branches that are out here, they have to sometimes cut off because they're not close enough to the original source of the vine. And the closer you are to Jesus, the greater life you're going to have in Him. You got to stay close to Him. So he'll cut things off you if it's not close to Him. Okay, really, really close to Him. All right, let's go to the beautiful fall. Okay, this is my favorite time, fall in the vineyard. And that's kind of where we are now, even though it feels like wintertime. Okay, fall in the vineyard. After the frost, the leaves on the vines, they begin to turn different colors. And the heat, again from the summer, causes the branches to long again for the water of the word. Because the branch has longed for the water, that water channel that is in the branch now will serve as an antifreeze for the winter time. And it keeps the plant from dying in the harshness of winter. Again, the greater degree of heat that you go through in your summer season will equal the greater degree of survival, the greatest chance of survival in your winter season. Remember that as you navigate through the areas of life. So what does the vine teach us in the fall season? It's harvest season. See, the goal of the vineyard is grapes, not growth, as I said. Now, two amazing events occur. One event is called the Green Harvest, and I'm going to show that to you. And the other one is called Verizon. So we'll talk about these two wonderful times. The Green Harvest is one of the most disillusioning times for the plant in the vineyard. And I want to show you this scripture. I know I've shown it to you quite a few times. John 15:2, it says, "While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it'll even be more fruitful." What you see here is beautiful fruit hanging, but what's going on? Half of it has been cut off and thrown on the ground. And what happens in the vineyard, this is what they do in the vineyard. Yeah, you can kill the video, audio of that. Kill the audio of that. Thank you. Yeah, just kill the audio. Yeah, thank you, brother. Okay, so you can see here what we call a green harvest. What a gardener does is he comes and he clips the cluster in half. Why? Because the grapes will grow exponentially, and it creates too much pressure. And that pressure, then water will get on it, mildew will get on it, and guess what happens? It becomes diseased. So what the gardener does is he clips the cluster in half, and he lets it fall to the ground. In our life, it would be too busy. God's going to begin to clip things off you so that the fruit has air and it can grow and it can prosper. Again, this beautiful, and this is again an incredible disillusioning. But Lord, you told me to get into this ministry. But Lord, you told me to do this, and now it's just laying on the ground. It's just dying. Anyone ever been there besides me? You told me to do this, Lord. He's like, I did. But I want, at this point, quality, not quantity. We're opposite, aren't we? We're always wanting more. We're wanting better. But God wants quality fruit in your life, not more. He wants good fruit in your life. So we call this the green harvest. Now, this is fascinating. How much on average is pruned in a green harvest? Well, what they say is they want 30 leaves per one cluster. Okay? 30 leaves per, excuse me, two clusters. 30 leaves to two clusters. Interesting number. 30 in the Bible is the number of maturity. The priest entered the ministry at age 30. David became king at age 30. Jesus became, you know, was commissioned at age 30, really is when he began his ministry. Two clusters. What do two clusters represent? Two is the number of witness. Jesus sent them out two by two. Also, what's interesting is any cluster that is over 6 inches or reaches 6 inches, six is the number of man. You remember 666? Six is the number of man in the Bible, is cut off. Any fruit that you try to get in your own strength, he's going to cut off. Okay. And it's dropped. And where does he drop it? He drops it right at your feet. Why? Because the nutrients of the fruit that has been cut off in the green harvest will then go into the ground and help ripen the berries for the final harvest. See, it's not wasted. Everything that you've done in your life is not but he cuts it off and it goes down and it's absorbed in the roots and it comes back through you. Now, the next part I want to talk about is what's called verizon. Verizon, it's a French word, and what it means is ripening. It's when the berry goes from green to purple, okay? It's just the ripening process. And what happens here right before the harvest is the grapes are now being transformed into something beautiful. Here's the thing about life in the vineyard. Just as natural fruit is transformed during the Verrazano or ripening process, so too your Father is transforming the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life in every situation, because that's what He wants. Let's look at it. Here it is right here. Love, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. What's happening here is God is transforming in the vineyard and in your life what is happening in your life to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What if, just stay with me on this, what if you could never be challenged by negative in your life? What if you could only be challenged by what fruit of the Holy Spirit He is manifesting at that time? In hardships, you need to ask God, what fruit of the Holy Spirit are you bringing into my life at this time? So we're not challenged by fear. We see fear as an opportunity to manifest love. Because every time you fear, it is an invitation for love. So that every time whenever God wanted to teach me peace, you know what He did to me whenever I wanted, like, Daryl, I need to get you to really understand peace. You know what He did? He allowed me to go through a storm. Every time that I needed some patience in my life, He surrounded me with the most difficult people on the face of the planet Earth, guys. What if you couldn't be challenged by a negative emotion? What if your default setting was, God, what fruit of the Holy Spirit are you bringing in my life? I want to tell you, I believe that's how kingdom people navigate life. They ask those questions. When God wanted to teach me goodness, He allowed me to be assaulted with the most evil. I won't even tell you the stories. The amount of evil that was coming against us. Evil. God was teaching His goodness to us. Okay, when God wanted to teach me His faithfulness, when God wanted to teach me how faithful He was, He allowed me to go through uncomprehendable rejection. And guess what happened? In that moment, God became something for me. Here's something I just want you to remember, church. Remember this. This is an amazing question. Whenever you go through a hardship, ask God, who are you for me in this right now? Who are you, God? What are you bringing in my life? What are you manifesting in my life? What is it you want to do in my life? Again, let me say it to you like this. When I went through one of the hardest times in my life, lost my dad, church split, slander, accusations, terrible things were going on. We went through uncomprehendable rejection. Do you know what I mean? Y'all have gone through that. Uncomprehendable. The Lord said, Daryl, I'm teaching you how to love like me. I want you to love like me. I want you to know me. And so in your circumstances, God is cultivating His nature, and He's going to do it through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that in a stressful situation, you can be as joyful as God. When you're going through hard times, you can be as loving as Him, as kind as Him. See, abiding in him means you change your perspective from the negative to the positive. Here's a statement for you. In heaven, there are no problems. There's only possibilities. So whenever I get negative, I keep hearing Papa, Father, tell me, my Father in heaven, he keeps telling me, hey, we don't speak that language here. We only speak what's possible. I'm talking about negativity. Now yeah, you got to define the problem and you got to identify the problem. You got to talk through the problem. But when we get negative, Lord says, we don't speak that here. We only speak positive to you. It's positive to you. Okay? We cannot continue to surrender negativity and negative emotions. But instead, we're going to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit in whatever situation of life, whatever season of life, we realize that's the goal, okay? Here's the thing. What if your worst moments, just live a few more years later, the worst moments you've ever gone through in life can end up being the best moments in your life? And what if the way that we determine that is how you respond to the moment? This is how people in the kingdom think. Let me leave you with something right here. Seasons, I'm going to give you three practicals. Here they are. Recognize what spiritual season you're in right now. What spiritual season are you in? Recognize it. Number two, remain through abiding, understanding that though I'm in a winter season, some good's going to come out of this thing. Okay? And then number three, remember the Father's complete desire is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm telling you, if we think like that, some real goodness is going to come. Now, I left off a piece of this because I really believe God wants to minister deeply to the heart, especially when I heard that prophetic word about the guys and some of us and the dance, which was amazing. I'm going to show you a video right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up during this video. What we're going to see is this is a year in the vineyard. Time lapse, 1 year in the vineyard. And as you watch this, I'm wanting it just to speak to you. I'm wanting the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What season do you find yourself in? Maybe you're in a winter season. Like, Daryl, you don't understand what's going on. I can't. It's like everything I've ever worked for is just being cut off. Maybe you're in the spring season and you're having spiritual breakthroughs. Well, amen. Come up here and lay hands on us, you know. Maybe you're in the summer season and, man, it's just hot, but good fruit's happening. Maybe you're in the fall season. Maybe you're in the fall and God's harvesting your fruit. I'm looking at a vineyard. I'm looking at a vineyard. The goal is that God would take all of our fruit, bring them in to what's called the crush season, and then have the new wine that Jesus spoke about in his scripture to be able to take out of this place so that people could taste and see through our community, through our vineyard, that the Lord is good. He does it through taking you through seasons. He's not abandoned you. He's not left you. It's never been closer to you if you're in that season, okay? All right, let's watch this video. It'll have some music to it. And if you could dim the lights, guys, maybe we could hit the lights for worship. And then we're going to come together and we're going to worship the Lord. Amen?